April is here, and if your windows won't open for fresh air or seal tight to keep out pollen and bugs, then talk to Window Nation. Right now, for every two windows you buy, you'll get two free. There's no limit to how much you can save. Plus, save even more with no interest or payments for 24 months. With proven quality, you'll get affordable windows that meet or beat the national brands. Don't miss out. Call 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com to schedule your free in-home estimate.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently. Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have the Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get the Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
And now it feels real. Welcome on in, Sports Radio 94 WIP. This is the official Eagles schedule release show. Joe Giglio with you. Moshe Kravitz behind the glass this evening. And in with me for the next couple hours is James Seltzer of the Go Birds podcast, among other things he does here at WIP, like the Midday Show and Hiwas podcast. James, what's up, man?
Hey, buddy. How you doing? I'm not going to lie to you. Little bit of chills there with that music.
I know.
Got it going.
Old
for
school,
me.
Yeah.
That's beautiful.
That is great. All right, we got a lot to get into here, James, the next 2 hours. So it is NFL schedule release night, and obviously, you know, some of this stuff is leaked out already. It's the way it works.
Yeah, but it's good that they have a whole show. The NFL releases the schedule, but we all know.
Yeah, so at 8 o'clock, we will have an official schedule. And don't you guys worry. At 8 o'clock, James and I are going to look at the schedule, and we're going to do what is a staple. We get to be the first ones on WIP this year to do it.
I'm
you realize
gonna
that.
Lie to, I thought about it on the way in.
Yeah.
I was like, I get to be the first person on WIP to do win-loss. What an honor.
It's,
I can't wait.
It's a staple of sports radio.
It's all a must.
Everyone's going to do it tomorrow. We'll do it tonight at 8 o'clock, so we'll have the full schedule. We do have some stuff that is kind of leaked out here. Joining us at 8:30, and I'm excited for this, is Merrill Reese. Merrill's going to join us,
amazing.
Which means we're going to make him do the win-loss game. And my other favorite thing about Merrill is he'll give us his thoughts on where he's traveling to. Because, he likes some places he does, and I know he hates Washington.
He's talked a lot about Washington and what a dump that place is.
Totally. So we're going to have Merrill on later in the show to give his thoughts on us. And you guys be part of the show as well. 215-592-9494, the schedule release show. All right, James, let's just talk big picture for a second here. We do know a little bit about the start of the schedule, but you and I haven't spoken about the Eagles. You were on with me for the Roundtable Philly show, so
yes.
we know how our thoughts on that. But where are you on this Eagles team? Because it's funny, I was thinking about this the other night. Like, I would say the temperature of the city that I felt up until draft night was, all right, like, they're not bad. They didn't improve that much. Still, the jury's out for a lot of people. I feel like it's a split city on the quarterback, which what else is new? It's Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't feel a lot of buzz for the Eagles. And then draft night came, and it just totally flipped, like, on 180 in one night. I feel like people are excited. I think they could be a good team. And James, I think they could win the NFCs. Before I see the full schedule, I think they can win the NFCs.
Joe, we're not going to be disagreeing too much tonight then, because I'm 100% with you. And I was very down on this team last year. I've been very down on Howie Roseman the last few years. But I think you look at the last year that this guy's had, basically from the Carson Wentz trade forward, I mean, masterful. I mean, he's really brought this team back from the brink and put them in a really good position. And to your point, man, I don't ever remember a single move changing a fan base's opinion of a team as much as the A.J. Brown trade. It totally changed everything. All of a sudden, there's juice for this team. People are excited. It's like, we might have one of the best offenses in football. And we were going from, like, can this team even throw the ball, to all of a sudden, everyone is all in on this team. And honestly, I think they should be. I think they're going to be good. I think they're going to improve from last year. And we're going to talk about it. But, hey, you know, everyone last year, easy schedule. guess what?
Easy schedule.
Easy schedule again. So I think they're in, and especially you think about Sirianni year two, Hurts in year two in the same system. Year two is the starter. Like, all the other young guys getting another year in that. There's a lot of reason for optimism with this team.
So I'm going to say something now, and I don't want this to be misconstrued, because I don't think I like Jalen Hurts. I don't think he's going to jump to become an MVP-level player this season. But this offseason, when you add it all together, it kind of reminds me of 16 going into 17.
Sure.
Like, you know, they were an okay team in 16. This, in, you know, 20, they won 21, they were better. They won 9, but they're okay. The quarterback, you saw some things, but they were still like, all right, we'll see how good he is. Now, Wentz was the number 2 pick. Hurts was second round pick, so it's not exactly the same. But then they went and got Alshon Jeffrey, right? And there was like a buzz going into 17. And a couple, I guess it was last week, James, I was filling in for Angelo, and we had Brandon Graham in for an hour.
Mm-hmm.
And just, I just sensed from him, like, an excitement, like he—it's almost like he's rejuvenated. Because this is the first time I feel like in a few years where there's like a buzz that they could be good. Last year, no one had any expectations, and even into 20, it was like it felt weird. It felt like they were on the downslope of that run they had in 17 and 18. This is the first year I sense optimism from the team about where they're going.
It's a great point, Kelsey. I think is another example of that. And it's,
well, how about you? I'm sure you guys played on the show. His reaction to AJ Brown.
Absolutely, it was unbelievable.
Yeah.
And then, you know what stuck with me that Jason Kelce said? I thought it was a really impactful thing for him to say. When asked why he's coming back, he's like, I had fun playing for Sirianni.
Yep.
Like, I enjoyed this. This is fun. I want to do this.
Kind of like early Doug.
Yeah.
It was like a buzz.
Yes. And that was the, I will fight anyone that the most important thing about that 17 season was the chemistry, was the team,
right,
was that group of guys, the we all we got, we all we need, us against the world, the underdog thing. Those are powerful, motivating things in a sport where it's all about motivation. It's all about going out and wanting to beat the dude in front of you and wanting it more. I think that stuff is super impactful in the NFL in particular, even more than other sports. And I think that this team feels like they got a little juice going there. I agree with you. I think these guys like playing for Sirianni. They like the culture he's creating. And to the, you know, the point with A.J. Brown coming here, I think they like Jalen Hurts as their leader. We don't know if he's good enough yet. We'll get into all that.
Right.
But in terms of just like a guy being the leader of a team and them going out to fight for that dude and the general and all that, it feels like Jalen Hurts is a guy that players respond to.
Yeah, there's some it's weird because they're totally opposite as players, but there's some foals to him, and that, like,
absolutely,
they all love him. They want him to be the quarterback. 215-592-9494 if you want to hop in and be part of the show here. It's our schedule release show, so 1 hour from now we will have the full Eagles schedule, and we got to look at the other teams in the division, their schedule as well. But let's just jump in quickly on what we know already, and it's confirmed. We know, and the Eagles put this out, week one they're in Detroit against the Lions. They open as a 4.5-point favorite here, James. It's interesting. It's the kind of game where they should win. They're better.
Yeah, you could say that.
But I do think it's kind of weird because they went there last year and blew the Lions out. The Lions are kind of a team that people are intrigued by, I guess, a little bit because they were spunky last year. They weren't.
Well, we all thought, well, there were a lot of people thought they might
lose
that game going in.
But the rest of the year, they weren't awful. Like, they lost a bunch.
They fought.
Mm-hmm. I'm happy it's the Lions, right? It's not a tough game. I do think that is an interesting spot for the Eagles. Like, if they go in there and win convincingly, that's going to really impress me in week one. Because that Lions team, for the most part last year, they were in a lot of close games.
Yeah, they fight. Again, I think it's a good way to put it. And Dan Campbell seems like he's instilled that kind of thing in this team. That they might not be very talented, but you know what? They're not going to roll over. And I think that is a tough team, in a sense, to start the season against. But to your point, I mean, you look at the schedule, I would say Detroit, one of the 3 or 4 teams you're most excited to play this season.
Right.
And that's what I wanted. Coming into the schedule, before any leaks, before anything, I just said, I want it easy to start.
The
opposite. I think last year is really more of an anomaly. I think usually you see teams get hot to start the season, get on a roll like 2017, build on that, confidence builds, chemistry builds, all that's winning breeds confidence. I think that starting against a team like Detroit is a real win for the Eagles. But to your point, you're right. It's not a cupcake in the way that it might have been, you know, a couple years ago. Right?
Yeah, so week one in Detroit, we know about. The Eagles have put that one out. They open as 4.5-point favorites. And then we know week two. We found that out a couple days ago. The home opener against Minnesota. Now, Minnesota's been a decent team for a while now. They're not bad. They're just blah.
They're so blah.
They've taken on the personality of Kirk Cousins, right? Like, he's not bad. Anyone that calls Cousins bad
is
silly. He's fine. He's a pretty good quarterback. But I like that as a home opener spot. One, because Cousins on the road, I think, is 10 and 17 in primetime.
I think it's 8-17.
Okay, yeah,
I saw 8-17. It's one of those type of numbers.
It's bad, right? He just 1 o'clock Sunday. I don't want to play Kirk Cousins.
I agree with you.
8 p.m. here. I do. James, it's set. Like, it is set up for them to go 2-0 to start the season. That's like the total opposite last year, because they had to dig out of a 2-5 start. If they go 2-0, there's gonna be buzz around here.
There will be, and I think there should be again. And I do think it matters, not just for us and for the fan base and us getting excited about this team. I think it matters to win games early. I think it breeds confidence. I think these guys will start believing in themselves, believing in the system, believing in Hurts if he looks good.
Yep.
And it's a game about confidence. The football's a game about going out and being confident in what you do. And I think that something like that, a good start to the season, can maybe foster it even more than what you would already have.
It's interesting. You know, we're talking about expectations. I do wonder over the next, and it starts tomorrow, right? Because everyone has a schedule in front of them. You'll see predictions. It's not just us.
Yes.
I wonder if the Eagles are going to end up being that team this summer people start jumping on. It feels like we're trending that way because, I mean, there's two separate discussions here. One, it's the Eagles and what they did. But, James, just independently, I thought the Cowboys have had an awful offseason. They lost two offensive linemen. I know they drafted one. We'll see if he could play. But they lost two starting offensive linemen. They lost Amari Cooper. They lost Cedric Wilson, who was pretty good at the end of last year.
Randy Gregory?
Yes. I know they brought Gallup back, but he got hurt late in the season.
He's coming off an ACL.
Doesn't it feel like the Cowboys are headed for a disappointing year? And I thought they were kind of overrated based on their record anyway last year. They weren't great.
Oh, they weren't. No, they definitely weren't. And I think they were one of those teams that started hot. And everyone's like, oh, the Cowboys, look at them. And as the season went on and they started to lose guys and started to kind of play the season out, they just weren't that good. They were okay. You know?
And you saw it in the playoff game when they lost.
You saw it in the playoff. And, I think Dak's a good quarterback, but I don't think Dak's great. You know, I think there was a time last year where everyone started to be like, oh, Dak, MVP guy, he's great. And then I think we saw the real Dak as the season progressed. I think he's a good quarterback. But I don't think you're winning games just because of Dak. I don't think you're going to the Super Bowl just because of Dak. I don't think he's that type of guy. And to your point, I mean, losing Amari Cooper matters. Losing Randy Gregory matters. Losing offensive linemen matters. Where on the flip side, the Eagles went out and filled holes. They got Haason Reddick. They got A.J. Brown. They had a good draft. They did all these things. And I don't think they're done adding for what it's worth. James Bradbury's out there.
Yep.
Other guys, I think the secondary gets at least one more guy. So, yeah, I'm actually shocked at how optimistic I am right now about not just the team, but the division, their chances to win it, all that.
Well, the other part of the division, I still think the Giants are a while away, right? I know they got a new coach.
I think they want to be.
Yeah.
I don't think the Giants have any intent. Look, they're not going to lose games on purpose. You know, no Hugh Jackson here or whatever.
But it's kind of a long-term thing.
I think Joe Shane is looking at this and saying, hey, I don't believe in Daniel Jones. They didn't pick up his fifth-year option. I'm sure him and Dable are coming in. They want their guy. There's, you know, Mel Kiper's talking about seven quarterbacks going in the first round. Whatever it is, I think the Giants are looking at this and saying, hey, we're not going to be that good anyway. We're going to play young guys. We're going to develop. And I think the Giants are fine being a bad football team this year.
So that, the only team we haven't discussed here, James, that leaves the Washington Commanders, led by Carson Wentz. It's almost poetic that he's back in the division
it's
now.
It's not almost poetic.
It is poetic.
It's poetic.
It is poetic. So we don't have the full exact schedule. That comes at 8 o'clock. We'll give it to you as soon as it does come out. But we do have some of these leaks that have come out. One of them, confirmed by the Washington Post, one of the beat writers down there, Eagles will host the Commanders Week 10 Monday Night Football.
Oh, buddy!
We knew it was a lock that it would be a primetime game. Like,
yes.
The NFL had to do it. My only gripe is that it's not earlier in the season.
I agree.
Because he gets hurt.
He gets hurt.
Benched, whatever.
Yeah.
It might not have the same buzz. But boy, if the Eagles are, let's say, pretty good and the Commanders are at least, well, it doesn't matter what the record is. As long as he's starting, that will be one of the most just wild scenes. Like, we get two of these. We'll get to the other one. But we get two moments this year at home. We get to welcome back someone who, in theory, like, should be a guy we talk about forever. And it will be Carson Wentz, just the wrong way. What do you think it's going to be like at the link that night?
It's a really fascinating one because, and I'm sure this will change over time. And you know, time heals all wounds and all that stuff. But it's a fascinating legacy for Carson Wentz here. I mean, personally, the way I look at it, is that dude played a big role in me getting a Super Bowl.
Well, he did.
Like, that's it. Everything else, like, I hated it. I hated him in the moment. I hated him so much in the moment when that all happened and he grassed it out and I have no accountability and I couldn't stand it. But now that he's gone, now that he was out of my hair for a year and all that, and I got to root against him and I got to watch him fail against Jacksonville and all that, like, I don't like Carson Wentz. I'm not rooting for Carson Wentz, but I appreciate what he did here and what he meant for my team and my experience with my team. So I think it's really complicated. I don't know. I feel like I would cheer him at first and then boom, the rest of the game. But even then, like, the cheer wouldn't be as full-throated, so to speak, as it probably would have been if all that.
Yeah, you know what? I want to see the Eagles win that game 44-0.
Yeah.
But I
can't, more than anything.
If you ask me right now, I think it's going to be a little bit mixed in the building. I think the boos will drown out the. Will there be any cheers? Will the people in Europe feel like you just kind of be quieter?
I think they'll be more quiet. But I mean, if he comes out at first, I think you give him a little, like, you know, a little quick cheer.
Yeah.
Hey, thanks.
The fact
for the
that
Super
he's
Bowl.
In the division, though, and a rival, it changes it.
It
like
does.
If he came back with the Colts, which we thought that's where it was going to end up.
Yep.
Obviously, it didn't last very long. I think that would have been different.
I think you're right about
that. One every 4 years, yeah. It's like, this is the only time he's ever coming back. Yeah. And this might be the only time.
It probably will be.
With the way his career is going, he might not be in the league very long. But it's going to be, like, that will be such a great scene. I can't wait for that week leading up to it on WIP. Because that's all we're going to talk about.
Oh, it's going to be awesome. Again, like, if you think about it, just in the last, let's say, you know, 5 years or whatever, in what we do for a living, like, is there a name in your life that you've said more than Carson Wentz? Other than maybe your kid's name and your wife's name? Like, that's it. I've said Carson Wentz's name a million times.
Burned in my brain, and I'm sure yours as well, is I see the call screen. It just says Wentz.
Wentz.
Carson
Wentz.
Or
yep.
Wentz,
totally.
Either way.
Totally.
Yeah, I know. He's been the most talked about athlete in this city. I mean, you would throw him and a couple basketball players, maybe Bryce Harper, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's it. That's who we've talked about. And then the coaches, obviously. Speaking of coaches, it looks like week four is Doug Peterson's mm-hmm. return. And
There'll be no ambiguity with that one,
that
my
will
friend.
Be, that will be a hero's return.
As it should be.
So Howard and I were talking about this, and my theory is that he has to be the only coach or player to return to a city where his statue is outside the building.
That's a great point.
Like, Doug Peterson's statue's outside the stadium, and he's coming back here to coach. I can't wait to cheer Doug in week four if that's the game.
I love the man. I love him. I'm rooting for Jacksonville because of him. They're my new AFC team.
Why not? Like,
unless you're playing the Eagles, go Jags. I love Doug Peterson. And I know that it got a little, you know, ugly that last year. And there were a lot of people who didn't like him as a coach and all that. But regardless of that last year, obviously what he did for us in the Super Bowl, and I don't care what anyone says, the man was a genius the Super Bowl year. In-game, game planning, I know he had a lot of help and all that, but
Doug
Peterson
every button.
Was on a heater, man. And everything the guy did was just the right move, and I'll never, never be able to thank him enough for that and what he gave us. But on top of that, like, he just seemed like a great dude, man. Like, who has a problem with Doug Peterson, the person? You can't. He's smiling, jovial, seemed like a great guy. His players loved him. I think there's few people who have come back, especially as recently as he has, who deserve a full, you know, standing ovation, the entire crowd, stop it all, and get up and cheer for that dude as much as Doug.
Yeah, I can't wait for that. Look, that looks like it's an early season game this year. So the two divisions, because there's always so many different elements of the schedule, the two divisions the Eagles are going to play this year outside of the NFC East, obviously, so they're going to play the AFC South.
Thank goodness.
And they're going to play the NFC North. Which and I've got to say, among the divisions they could play, you can't ask for much easier
I think
than
it's
that.
Probably the best too. I mean, you could argue maybe you want to play the NFC South, you know, because outside of Brady, it's pretty bad.
It's similar
to the North in a lot of ways. But Minnesota maybe a little better second team. Green Bay maybe probably not as good as Tampa Bay, but it all kind of evens out. But I mean, the AFC South, easily the AFC division you want to face.
I mean, two awful teams with Houston and Jacksonville.
Okay teams, you know, who knows? The maybe good, maybe okay. You know, Tennessee just lost a pretty damn good player, you know, so. And who knows, Matt Ryan? I think he'll be good there, but he's 36. It could be anything. So, yeah, in terms of the divisions, you got that extra stuff. I mean, they couldn't have gotten luckier.
Yeah, it's actually the opposite of last year. Because last year, you know, we went through it early in the season. It was like, man, they have to play the AFC West last year? And who they play in the NFC?
It would have been the South because they played Brady and all them.
Right. Yep. Especially the AFC West. I mean, that's probably the most brutal division of football. Mm-hmm. And that tough start was part of it. I mean, this year you kind of add it together. And the other part of the element of the schedule this year is, James, they get 9 home games.
Yep. That's a big one.
Because they're doing the reverse AFC-NFC thing. It was weird when they did that last year because I was like, all right, how are they going to do the 17th game? And I remember Tucker's idea was maybe a neutral site game, which would kind of be cool.
It is a cool idea, yeah.
But obviously they didn't want to give up revenue and money to these
really?
Stadiums.
No, it's surprising. But I mean, these guys love to give up revenue, I feel like.
Every other year, it's an advantage for the NFC.
Absolutely it is. Yeah, it's a really big advantage. And look, it'll be an advantage every other year the other way. But in this case, especially with how the Eagles' schedule is set up already, as easy as it looks like it's going to be, having that extra game is just like an added bonus. It's huge.
So last year, and we'll find out when the schedule comes out, and you're listening to the Eagles special schedule show. Joe Giglio, James Seltzer hanging out for the next couple hours. Merrill Royce is going to join us at 8:30. When we get the full schedule, the thing I'm probably most interested in, because we know a lot of the games and we obviously knew the opponents before, is when is the bye, James? Because last year, it's funny, the bye is always a beauty in the eye of the beholder. Like, you could spin it any way you want. Ideally, you want it somewhere in the middle.
That's what I would think.
But last year, it was towards the end. And
it was
I thought
the last week that byes were a part of the league.
Was it 14?
14. Yeah. It was the last group of byes.
And they spun it. And actually, I think it worked out. They were fresh down the stretch, and they finished that, and they got in the playoffs. This year, just from what we've seen leaked, it looks like it's going to be earlier.
Week six or seven, something
like
that?
Yeah, somewhere in there, which is okay. But what my worry on the other end of that is we get to, you know, it's an 18-week season now. So if this team's good and we both think they could be pretty good and we're talking about the playoffs, that means they haven't had a week off in, you know, months.
Yeah.
That's a problem.
It's a long haul.
Yep.
And especially if the leaks are right, you've got that stretch of three away games towards the back end of the season. You add that in with the early bye. The schedule looks tougher on the back end than on the first end. So while I did want an easier schedule to start, I think that's important. You could definitely look at it in a way where with the bye early, kind of after that bye, it could be a real marathon, so to speak, to make it all happen.
Yeah, I mean, if they're good, you know what we're going to be talking about in November. Like, they have to get the bye. They have to get a bye. Well, it's only one bye now, which makes
it really hard.
Probably not going to be that good to do that. But that's always a big one. And then you mentioned that there is, you know, one of the leaks out there is potentially three straight road games in December, which Howard said it last hour, and I agree with him. It's probably most unfair thing that the NFL does to any team, not just the Eagles, because it, you know, it happens once in a while to all these teams. But there's no way around it. That is a killer. Like, if you win, and I was mentioning the Super Bowl year, they won two of the three. If you win two out of the three, I don't care who the opponents are. They could be three bad teams. It's a thumbs up. Like, I'll just take that right now. That's hard.
Oh, my God. I would take two in a second.
I think the Bengals last year had it and lost to the Jets in that last one.
The Saints, when the Eagles whooped the Saints last year, that was the Saints' third straight road game. And we saw what happened, 40-18. And the Saints were not great or anything, but I don't think the Eagles were that much better than the
Saints. No, it was the three straight road games.
It was the three straight road games. So, I think it's a massive disadvantage for any team that has it. You hope, and it looks like if the leaks are right, the first two games of it should be winnable. And then you just assume you go into Dallas on Christmas Eve and lose, because that's probably going to happen anyway. They don't play great in Dallas as of late. I mean, since 2017, I think they haven't won there. So they've been pretty bad in Dallas.
Yeah,
so
it's been a long time.
Been really bad. They won 2017 there. And since then, I don't know if they have. They might have been one in there. But I
Wasn't
I feel
that
like
the 2017 game
the
where
37-9, I think, was that one.
Who was the kicker? It was Jake.
Yeah.
He got hurt.
Yeah, and that was the Kamu Gorgeous-Hill kicking,
kicking
the ball game.
Yes, and they were going for two.
Your ability, I noticed this when you were on with Howard, your ability to pull out the games and the facts and the memories of it.
It just like sits up.
It's
there's
very impressive.
Too much up
very
there.
Very impressive.
But they've stunk in Dallas
they've
last year.
They stunk, man. They stunk.
And from my memory,
that's Hurts' worst game we've ever seen him play was Dallas last year. I mean,
there
are a
awful.
Couple you could throw in there, but that one for me, that was the, in my opinion, the worst I've ever seen.
And what made that worse for me than the playoff game is, and I don't feel enough people have talked about this. He clearly re-injured his ankle in the playoff game.
Yes,
he couldn't push off.
The ankle was a thing.
Yeah, he had surgery.
Exactly, and also you just knew it in the moment. Like he just wasn't running as much, and when he didn't have that same burst, that same wiggle. Like, it was clear that ankle was a bigger deal than anyone made it to be in the season.
And that's what bothered me. Just to go on a Hurts tangent for a second, when people bring up that, remember the throw where he had the interception in the front of the end zone.
Of course, yeah.
If you go back and rewatch that, he like double clutched it two times. And I keep thinking it's because he knew he couldn't put the pressure on his leg.
Yeah.
Because he can make that throw.
Sure.
Like, if he can't make that throw, then he can't be a winning quarterback.
That's,
like,
that's true.
We've seen him make that throw, but I agree with you. That Dallas game, yeah, Hurts has to get his first win in Dallas.
I know.
You can't be a long-term Eagle quarterback unless you at least get a win in Dallas.
Well, he has to beat Dallas, right? I mean, period.
You know what? I'm sure at some point this summer or in the course of this fall, you guys on your show in the midday, Go Birds, my show, we're all going to do the what does Jalen Hurts have to do to be the long-term quarterback?
Yep.
It's got to beat Dallas.
That's a great one.
I mean, he's got to beat Dallas.
He has to.
This isn't rocket science. All right, 215-592-9494. That's how you hop in. James Seltzer in for the next couple hours. It is our Eagles schedule release special here. We'll get the full schedule, and we'll know it officially coming up at 8 p.m. We know some of the leaks. Week one, the Lions. In Detroit, week two, the Minnesota Vikings. When we get back, let's look at the NFC East, the teams we know they're going to play, and who they're playing in week one, because there's a couple really good matches with the other NFC East teams in week one. We'll do that next, right here on Sports Radio 94 WIP. Is it football season? feels like it. Welcome back. Sports Radio 94 WIP. Joe Giglio joined by James Seltzer. Eagles schedule release special as we get set for 8 o'clock. The full schedule will be out. James and I are ready, game by game. Now what do you do? Are you an iPhone guy? Or are you going to write it down pen and paper? How do you do the win-loss?
I go just, right off the top of my head, man.
Boom. Yeah, win-loss, win-loss.
Just now, gut, you know, here's what do I feel in the moment?
I like that. Now, here's my question. Do you go in, because this is always, everyone's different on this. Do you go into the schedule, like, so 8 o'clock it'll come out, we'll tell everyone exactly what it is.
Yes.
Now, do you have a number kind of in your head right now, and then as you go through it, you try to make it match up, or do you not even think about what you think of the team and you just go game by game? Because, you know, for example, like, let's just say I think they're an 11-win team.
Yep.
And I'm sitting there, I'm like, you know, I'm going through, and I'm like, oh, I got five losses. Mm-hmm. It's October 15th. Mm-hmm. It's October 30th. You kind of have to go undefeated the rest of it. Do you do that, or do you just try to just do it?
It's a great question. I'm happy you asked it. It's a combo of both, actually. So I have an idea of what I think they're going to be.
Yeah,
like,
we all do.
I know in my head where I think what type of team. I have a two-win range or so that I'm you know, going to be somewhere in there. But I don't purposefully say, all right, I got to get to 12. I got to get to 12. But I will, as I'm going, consciously think about the fact that just because in this moment I think they're going to win every game they're going to win, they're not. Something's going to happen. They're going to win one they're not supposed to. They're going to lose one they're not supposed to, so on and so forth. So I do try to think that way as I do it. But I don't, and I know what type of team I think they're going to be, but I don't ever say, I'm getting to 12, so now I'm at 3. I got to do this to get to 12. I don't do it that specifically.
Yeah, everyone goes about it differently. I try not to think too much about what I think they're going to be. Like, they're a 10-win team, 11, 9, whatever. Because that could cloud your judgment on the schedule. You got to go game by game. We'll do that coming up next hour. 215-592-9494. I actually heard the afternoon show today. They were doing it off the mock schedule. Like, they were a day ahead. They were ready.
For it.
I think I heard Ike at 12. Jack was at 8. I didn't hear Marks' number, but I think he was kind of more towards Jack's end of things. 8. I mean, that's – I don't know what's worse. 8 wins for this year's team or those AutoZone Jack commercials?
There's nothing worse than that, let's be honest. I mean, the man can't change a tire. But I will just say this. I hope he's listening because I'll say it right to him. Hey, Jack.
Oh, he's listening.
Stick to baseball. And we're good. And we did it.
Dave's in Chester. Dave wants to chat here about the Eagles and this defense. What's up, Dave?
What's going on, gentlemen? James, how are you?
What
brother?
Up, buddy? Nice to hear your voice, Dave.
All right, man. So I'm super excited, man. Howie really, really did his thing this offseason. He put together one blank of an offense. My problem is there's a big holes in defense yet, man. And the last time I checked, you had to stop the opponent at least once, unless you were able to manage the clock 100% correctly. And let's face it, Sirianni hasn't proved that to us yet. I mean, look, I like what they did on offense, but we got Josh Sweat. We signed him. Okay, good. We got Barnett. I don't have that much faith in Barnett, except for him to make a stupid penalty here and there. Brandon Graham, I love him to death, but he's coming off of an injury and he's old. How much can we expect from the edge rushers here, guys?
Well, I think Reddick's a big deal. I think it's a big deal. And, Dave, I think it's interesting what happened with the defense this offseason. They didn't say it out loud until the last couple of days. They're clearly moving over 3-4. Yep. I mean, just when you kind of add it together, signing Kazir White, signing Hassan Reddick, drafting N'Kobe Dean.
Jordan Davis.
If you try to draw up a nose tackle, it is Jordan Davis. Dave, I think the 3-4 move is going to help them. I'm still a little bit worried about the secondary, safety, the other corner. But I think they're improved in the front seven by a lot.
Well, that was the second part of it, was the secondary and just the secondary in general. And even though Howie tells us we got to trust him, I mean, I can't do it until I see it. I'm not confident with anybody else outside of Slaying. I mean, face it, the right number one will trash him on the field. We've seen it happen over and over again already. I do want to say this about the schedule and a little bit that has been leaked. Mm-hmm. Is anybody else excited that we have the Saints pick and they look like they're going to be not so great with the 8th hardest schedule in the league? And we play them in January. Anybody else ecstatic about that? Even if we're horrible, then we have something to look forward to in January, boys.
Yeah, that.
Y'all have a great night.
You too, Dave. We appreciate it. We'll throw that in as what to watch for here. Sponsored by Xfinity. Xfinity, the fast internet in Philadelphia, and the sponsor of our Xfinity X1 Lounge. Yeah, we got another team to root against. We had two last year.
I love it, man.
Dolphins and Colts. Now we get the Saints.
So I loved that trade, period. I thought it was just, Honestly, I don't know what Mickey Loomis was doing. I don't know what he was thinking. It seems like such a short-sighted move by New Orleans, and just how he pouncing, how he's seeing an opportunity,
yep,
taking advantage of it. I don't think there's any way he gets that haul on draft night if he makes that same trade. So I just love the trade, but you know, a nice little fringe benefit of it is it's really fun to root against another team like that. And I think the Saints have a chance to,
I'm just
if
trying
not
to
be bad,
put my head around
not
what it is
good.
He says.
So I think there's an opportunity.
Yeah, they seem like a good team to try to short. I mean, like,
totally.
Look at
I mean,
their
Jameis, they lose their head coach.
And it's Jameis off an injury.
Off an injury. You know. Andy Dalton's the backup there. I mean, it's not like
Steve
it gets
Buchanan
much better if Jameis goes
Steve.
Out.
So you mentioned you don't
and
know what the Saints were doing.
You.
Like, I kind of right? thought when okay. it happened that maybe they think they have to get two picks to move up for a quarterback.
That was what I thought, too.
Obviously, the way it played out, yeah. nobody moved
I
up
mean,
for a quarterback.
You, when you see the breakdown of all the okay. picks the Saints essentially gave up to go up and get Chris Olave at 11,
all right, here we go
it's
in insane. Three,
it's stunning.
Two,
it's one of the most shocking things
one.
I've seen a general manager do in the
Welcome
NFL.
Welcome back to Dodger Stadium. Beautiful night for baseball here in Los Angeles.
Right, he's
thanks
his own. His own thing. But no, it's a good point
by
the caller. Like,
and
from the leaks we've seen, it sounds like that New Orleans game will be very late in the season. So that's two things I think of. One, you know, they could be playing a pretty bad team with something extra on the line. But I was thinking, I was wondering if the NFL put it late in the season because, you know, late in the season, sometimes teams will just rest players. We saw the Eagles in back-to-back years for two different kind of reasons, just not play the last game of the season. If it's the Saints, you know they're going to play
last
season,
right
before the trade deadline.
The Eagles to play.
That is a fascinating thought that I didn't think about.
Force them.
I really like that.
They're tired of Howie Roseman.
Because that game matters.
Their physical
didn't
come back the way the Mariners were hoping, so the trade got squashed. The Phillies ended up moving in a different direction and making a deal for Kyle
Gibson. I wonder if we get there. Like, let's say
the
Eagles
don't need the game. Let's
say they win the division. I know we're being very optimistic on that, but let's say they don't need the game in the last week. I wonder if that would be, like, I wonder how they would handle that. Because their MO has been, we're not going to take any risks. The Saints are 5-11.
Yeah, like you're talking about like a top five pick or something like that. I mean, there's no value. You talk about the draft chart. Like the difference between the 12 pick and the 5 pick is massive.
He tosses
it
straight.
Yeah, it would be like for
right.
our audience.
Okay, here we
people
go.
Would scream if they put a player out there and they get hurt.
No,
like you're
no.
trying for a draft pick.
Three,
honestly,
the playoffs.
It's one of the all-time great.
Okay, thank you, Steve. We appreciate it. We'll take a time out. We've got more for you coming up
right
on tonight's ball game and on tonight's pregame show. Next up, we'll hear from
you. Want to tank? Well, how about this? 2 years later, you got the play guys to make sure you don't lose that draft pick status. All right, James, let's hit the Week One games we know about and how they pertain to the Eagles here. So we know it's Eagles at the Lions Week One. It is currently looking at a 4.5-point Eagles number. I love that these sportsbooks put these numbers up. It's in
two,
one hand, it's crazy.
Three,
on
two,
the other hand, it's like,
one.
All right, it gives you kind of a glimpse
okay,
of
Steve,
what
thank
everyone
you very
thinks
much.
Of these
we'll
teams.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. It's also, I mean, it's a wild. I mean, I guess you could say,
home.
Oh, I'm getting value,
we'll
and if nothing changes,
right here,
like this will be 7 by the start of the season. But the idea that you would bet on a game, what is it, 4 months out? It's just great. Anything can happen. It's crazy.
So here are the NFC East games. Games for Week One. We know the Eagles are at the Lions. Now, this one, I mean, this has just got to be like, are they just trolling Carson Wentz? Carson Wentz and
it.
The Commanders will host Doug Peterson and the Jaguars. Now, that's a double whammy for Wentz. We've got the whole Doug thing, right? And the two of them obviously left on bad terms.
Yep.
And then it's the Jaguars, which is that's he's gonna
the
have
team
nightmares.
That, yeah.
I mean, that's
a great point.
That had to be last year. And I know we all kind of laughed it off and we had fun with it here. They were a 16-point regular season favorite and lost the game outright. And that, I'll never forget watching Ursay after the game. I was like, oh, yeah, Carson never played for them.
You knew it. Yeah. I mean, you could tell from everything they said. And I don't blame him. If I'm the owner of that team and that happens,
yep.
I'm out. I'm out on that, dude. I mean, like you said, a 16-point favorite. They lost with a chance to win and in, lose your out to the team that had the number one pick in the draft.
And they got beat up.
And
it wasn't...
They lost by like 16 points or whatever. They got owned or whatever it was.
Yeah. Upsets happen, but that's different. So that game, the Commanders open as a 4-point favorite. And then you have the Giants against the Titans. Giants are 6.5-point dogs in Tennessee. But the one I really wanted to talk about, James, because, you know, we haven't seen the full Dallas schedule, but we know the Eagles, Lions, Vikings, so there's a chance of 2-0. Dallas opens at home. They are 2.5-point underdogs to the Bucks.
Love that. Give it to me. It's great.
Early start where the Eagles are 1-0. Dallas is 0-1.
I love it. I mean, again, back to the starting hot thing. I think it's important, and that's a tough spot for Dallas, especially Brady coming back. Dude thought he played his last game. Now he's back, and he's going into Dallas. I think that's a lot of fun. That's fantastic.
Let's go to the phone lines here. Warren is at Gwinnett Valley talking some Eagles on schedule release night. Hey, Warren.
Hey, Joe. Thanks for taking my call.
You got it, bud. Anytime. What's on your mind?
I was going to say, just starting off, hey, James, how you doing?
Hey, Warren. How you doing, buddy?
Good. Thank you. I was going to say, I don't know if you guys thought about it, but wouldn't you say it's a bad omen that Ray Didinger is retiring before the Eagles season?
I hadn't thought about it, but you could flip it the other way, Warren, and say that Ray retiring, that they're going to do it for Ray. You could think about it that way, right? The Eagles are like, oh, God, Ray's leaving. Let's give Ray a real – he gets to sit at home and just relax during the games. He doesn't have to go on TV after. Let's give him a magical year that he can enjoy.
You know what I'm excited for Ray, and I don't know when he'll do this, but, you know, Ray has been – and, you know, obviously so well-respected among all of us and everyone in the city. But Ray, for all of us that do sports radio – I know Ray was a journalist before he got to doing any sports radio, but, like, he's the most – like, always down the middle, right? Mm-hmm. Like, but I'm excited for Ray that he could be a fan again.
Love that.
Because, you know,
I love it.
Yeah, I'm happy for him. Because that's, like, he's kind of put that on the side. The only time we ever really saw it was the Super Bowl with the hug with his son.
And even then, he, like, kept it together more than I think. Like, I would have been a puddle on the
every
floor,
other dad and son in the whole area was the puddle.
Well, the other thing is that there should be a few trees saved from the yellow paper that Ray eats up, too.
Well, that's true, too. That we're helping the environment with that.
Unless he does start doing the notepads for other things like movies and this and that. I could see Ray just transferring it over. Yeah. To, you know, books he's read. He's broken down on the pad.
Honey, where's my Sudoku?
Yeah.
What are you thinking, Warren, about this team? A full schedule coming out at 8, but we know Lions, Vikings to start off. What are you thinking, Warren?
I feel like if Jalen Hurts does not improve, then this is an 8-9 team about the same as last year.
And if he does,
if this team is going to, if he improves, we're a playoff team. I see it black and white.
Yeah, well, I do too. And Warren, and listen, man, we appreciate the call, James. There's no question in my mind, Jalen Hurts will improve. If you go
absolutely.
Back, I always tell this story when I talk about him because the first time I watched Jalen Hurts play at Alabama, he was a freshman. I thought he was a running back. I didn't think he could play quarterback. Yeah. Like his throwing motion was so bad. Like, you watch him then at 17 years old to now, it's night and day. Like, he's improved every year. Now, at some point, he's going to hit a ceiling, right? Mm-hmm. I don't know what that is. Is it top 15 in the league? Is it top – I hope it's top 10. But, like, he's going to hit a ceiling at some point. But he's going to get better. I would say, just conservatively, he was – I would call him the 20th best quarterback in the league last year. 18, 19, 20. I'd put him in that range.
18 is a number I just had in my head when you just mentioned
it. If he can get to the 13 to 16 range this year, they're going to go to the playoffs. But like, I think he – I'd be shocked if he doesn't improve off of last year.
I would be floored, Joe. I mean, first and foremost, to your point, I mean, this kid, of all the maybe players we've ever seen here, if I think of one person who I know is at least going to, and he might have hit his ceiling physically, he might have hit his ceiling mentally, we don't know. But in terms of putting in the work, no one's going to put in more. Like, this kid will do whatever his max potential is in his body and mind for football, he will get it out of himself.
And Sirianni, they keep saying that. It's
absolutely.
Like, that's why they're banking on
it. And I believe that. And again, the question is, what is that max potential? Because I do think he'll reach it. And look, I think just in the sense of he's in year two in Sirianni's system, this is the first time he's had the same offensive system 2 years in a row. It's his second year as a starter. That first year, I mean, he was barely, you know, you could call it year two. But you could also say it was essentially year one for him. Year two in that spot, in that role, the offense way better around him. I don't see any scenario where he's not better. It just comes down to how much better.
And the other thing, this, if I have a worry about Jalen, it's more durability than ability. I could,
especially with the way he plays,
yeah,
of course.
Right, and he's had ankle injuries in college. Mm-hmm. He had an ankle injury last year. The way he plays, it makes me wonder how they're going to play this season, because obviously their strength last year was running the football. But, you know, that caller that called in about the defense, James, I thought part of the reason they started running the ball so much, yes, they were inefficient throwing it. Their defense was so bad. I thought they tried to keep their defense off the field and running it and eating up the clock.
That's a really good point.
I wonder if – I'm fascinated to see how the offense looks and how much they change it, right? Because, like, they still are going to be able to run the ball. It still should be a strength.
They should run the ball.
Of course. Yeah. They just shouldn't go away from that. But I wonder how much they flip it. Like, because we remember the first five games of the year. I mean, Sirianni – I mean, every call on the board was run the ball. Like, that Dallas game.
They chanted it at the stadium, Joe.
Against the Bucs.
Never in my life.
And then he ran the ball out.
And he ran the ball. I've never in my life heard. I've never heard a fan base yell run the ball. Like, it was unbelievable.
I got calls that week where people honestly believed that he started running the ball because of the crowd.
Yeah, I know.
Like, we're the reason why.
I think a lot of people think
I think so,
whether
too.
It's the fans, WIP, the whole, like, thing of it, I think a lot of people think that the pressure to run the ball was part of why they started running the ball.
I know they're going to throw it more. It's a question of how much they flip this. Is this a passing team or is this like a balanced team?
It's a great question. I think it's more balanced than straight passing. But I do think, look, we know, we've heard it talked about
Jeff
with Jeffrey Lurie. And I do think with Nick Sirianni, I think we saw at the beginning of last year that ideally he'd like to be a passing offense. Well, I think that, you know, that's where the NFL is. We all know that. You can win running to a point, but if you really want to win in the NFL, you have to be able to pass the football, and the Eagles were not good enough at that last year. But look, you don't go out and get A.J. Brown unless you're playing to pass the ball more. I mean, you really don't, and I think that's a real sign.
And give him $100 million.
And give him a $100 million contract. And look, outside of you want to compete and all that, which you do this year, this is a make-or-break year for Jalen Hurts. This is a do-we-pay-him millions and millions of dollars type of year from the franchise's perspective. Like, you need to know that this guy can go out and be an effective thrower in the NFL. And you have to find out. They have to find out this year one way or the other.
Yeah, the whole Hurts thing is fascinating because I keep thinking about this. Like, what does he have to do to get them to believe and pay him?
I think about it way too much.
I think about it all the time.
Yeah, me too.
I keep coming back to this. If he wins enough, they're not going to be able to get rid of him.
I agree.
The locker room likes
him. If they win a playoff game, if they win the division and win a playoff game, what do you do? I mean, it almost doesn't even matter if he's the reason or not.
Right. It might end up that we play this out another year. I wonder if he becomes the Eagles' version of Dak Prescott.
Because it's a fascinating thought. Kirk Cousins back in Washington.
Right. They didn't really want to. They weren't sure if they should pay him. But then it became like, well, he's here and he's good and we're winning with him and they're not going to get rid of him. But they, both of those situations, they played it out. Like, and I also think with the Eagles, remember how many years it was after T.O. they were afraid to spend money on these star players?
Yes.
Well, you know, like they were burned by Wentz.
Big time. I it's a great point. I would be shocked. I don't think there's a Jalen Hurts would have to be otherworldly this year for them to give him a $150 million contract.
I think it's very likely he's their quarterback at 2023. I also don't think he's going to have a big long-term contract.
It's a fascinating thought. Well, I mean, look, theoretically, ideally, you know, if you get that extra year of Hurts next year on that rookie contract.
But better players, right?
You get another year in this, like a little, you almost create a two-year window here for yourself.
Yep.
If Hurts can take a step forward to really do some things.
But that becomes the biggest talking point. I mean, it's always.
It hangs over everything.
Yeah,
it's massive. And I do think that Jalen Hurts is the kind of player who can handle all this stuff, again, to the point where contrasting with Carson Wentz, someone who didn't handle these things well. I do think Jalen Hurts is incredibly mentally strong to the point with Alabama. I mean, the dude was able to getting benched in the national championship game and come back and go to another place and still thrive and succeed and all that. It takes real mental fortitude, so I believe in him in that area. But yeah, if he's good this year, and then it's gonna be a fascinating thing if that's what.
I mean, it seems like ever since he got in there, we've been debating his future.
Absolutely.
Like, I always wonder like how many games he's gonna start and win as we continue to do this. Like, people still call the station and say I'm sure you guys hear this on the midday show that people believe the Eagles don't really think he's their quarterback.
Of course.
And I'm like, they drafted him.
Yep.
They put him in as a starter. Mm-hmm. He's still here. Like, obviously, they like him a little bit, or at least enough to put him in. All right, let's hit this before we actually get the full schedule coming out at 8 o'clock tonight. We'll know it in full. Where do you stand on the primetime games versus the 1 o'clock starts? Always a great debate around here.
Okay, so personally?
Personally, as a fan.
Well, I have to wake up at 6 in the morning, so I hate him because I have to do a podcast after the game, so it's selfish of me. In that what I do for a living now when I do game's over, Elliot has to do his stuff after. He has to go do all the press conference stuff. And then I have to do a podcast like 1 in the morning. So I hate them personally. But as a
You've
fan,
been doing that for a while. I remember back at the old place.
I
was coming in maybe at those days to do like overnight shows.
Yep.
And you were going in and do a podcast.
Yep. So personally, but as a fan, I think they're fun. It's fun to be in front of the country, in front of the... I prefer Sunday night to Monday night. I don't love Monday night anymore. It's the whole. It's just a weird day. It feels like you're just kind of waiting for it, but you have to go to work that day.
Also throws off the sports radio week.
That too. It really throws
football
off.
Football Fridays on a Monday with a Monday night
it's
game.
It's a weird thing, and then the, and then day games aren't even like they're just not that fun. Like yeah. on the radio, like they're fine. Don't get me wrong. I love it.
We want to react to the game.
We want to react to the game, and it just it's like a weird vibe. So I prefer Sunday night to Monday night, and certainly to Thursday night, but. I think they're fun to get in front of the national stage, but I don't need too many of them.
So I feel similarly. So I do the pregame show on the road. So for those games, at home I don't really care because I'm not working the home Sundays. I just get to watch at home. But when it's a road game and I'm doing the pregame show with Glenn and Ross Tucker, I actually prefer 1 o'clock for this reason. When they're 4:25, when they had those games, I'm trying to watch Red Zone
same,
too.
Buddy.
And I got
yes.
you know I don't want to ignore Glenn. I don't want to ignore Ross and ignore the show, but like – there's a lot going on.
Yes!
1 o'clock, it's like, whatever. It's like we're starting the show at 11. There's nothing going on 11 a.m. in the morning, so I'm locked in. So I like the 1 o'clock games for that reason because you don't miss anything else in the morning.
And then the Eagles game's done. You do your thing, and
yep.
then you get ready for Sunday night football. You watch the afternoon games. It's beautiful. I'm with you. If 1 o'clock Sunday is football, right? Like if you had to just pick a time during the week to say what's the most football time of
1
the
o'clock.
Week, it's 1 o'clock on Sunday.
It kicks off. All right, let's talk to Leon in Dallas. What's up, Leon?
Yo, what's up, fellas? How are you doing tonight?
Good, Leon. What's up, buddy? What are you thinking?
Doing good. I just want to say you guys are great together. You know, it's not often we get you guys on, but, you know, you guys are just good, you and James.
Well, we appreciate it. I'm glad James could come in tonight. I was like, I got to get James Seltzer.
Oh, wait, is he gone?
No, I'm here, Leon. I'm here, brother.
Yeah.
I'm here.
Okay.
Yeah, I didn't kick him out in the minute I brought you up on the phone. Get out, James. Now, what are you thinking here, Leon?
Just want to talk about the schedule real quick. So don't you guys think it's odd that all four NFC East teams have the easiest schedules? Like, I believe it's like Cowboys have the easiest. And this is all just, you know, according to statistics, I guess.
Right.
Who knows
strength
how the
schedule
play
yeah.
out. But I just thought it was weird, though, you know, just how that played out. And like you said, or I think the caller mentioned how the Saints has the eighth, you know, toughest schedule. So hopefully that, you know, a benefit for us because, you know, they might win. 8-7 games.
Yeah, you know, Leon, I think it is. It's just because the rotating division versus division, right? Like, so this year the NFC East gets to play the NFC. They play the AFC South. We'll play the Colts and the Texans, the Jaguars, and they're also going to play. What is it? Who's the NFC division they're playing this year?
The North.
The North, right? So the Bears and the Lions. So that's it, Leon, because they all play those same teams. That's why they're all clustered at the bottom. It just so happens. And then last year, Leon, remember they played the AFC West. So it's just like. It's just kind of luck of the draw this year that the NFC East has those other divisions.
Gotcha. Okay, yeah, I never really understood how those things played out. But, again, thank you guys for taking my call. Prayers up to Danny Green. I don't know if y'all seen what happened earlier, but, you know, he's now out for the game. And, you know, big game, so we needed him. But, yeah, I hope he's all right. And hopefully the Sixers pull it out because we need that game 7. But I appreciate you guys, and y'all have a good night.
You got it, Leon. Yes,
too, Leon.
Yeah, I didn't see the injury, but we saw a lot of people talking about it. As far as the way its schedule goes – It's favorable, but we have to. I'm glad he brought that up. We have to remember, like the Giants and the Washington Commanders and
sure.
the Cowboys get those teams too.
Yeah, and that is certainly. I don't think we're as worried about the Giants getting those teams.
No.
But with Dallas, you know, and theoretically Washington. I mean, I don't believe in Carson Wentz, but you know, there are some people out there who still do. But yeah, I mean, that's absolutely a concern in the sense that you know, yes, it's good for the Eagles, but it's also good for Dallas. But you can't worry about that too much. Ultimately, you got to make the playoffs. You got to worry about the rest of the league. And I'll give up Dallas having an easy schedule for us to have one, too.
Yes. All right. One more quick thing, and then we're going to have the schedule in full coming up at 8 o'clock. And James and I will go win-loss, 8:30 tonight. We're going to have Merrill Reese call in. I'm very excited to hear from Merrill as he
– Cannot wait.
I'm excited that we get to have Merrill with, like, his first thought
I'm
on the
so
schedule.
I'm so excited. It's like a – it's honestly, it's like an honor to get Merrill on here. You're the first people to talk to Merrill about the games he's calling in his 41st or 42nd season, whatever it is. It's awesome.
It's funny. Like, I'd imagine Merrill's one of the few people that the schedule matters more to.
Oh,
like,
absolutely.
Like, it's everything to him. He's – the voice of the Eagles.
Yes, he is. You. It's rare that you look at the schedule and say, I'm going to every single one of these games, and I am involved in every single one of these games. For Merrill, that's his life. He looks at these games and say, all right, I guess I'm going to Arizona in October, and I'm going to Chicago in December, or whatever. Like, yes, it really it impacts him in a much, much bigger way than any of us, for sure.
So where, so when we get the games that in full coming up in a few minutes, we'll know, for the most part, primetime. We'll know the primetime based on the day and the time. But we'll also know Fox or CBS. Where are you right now, James, on the broadcaster shuffle? Because I was always, my favorite were Buck and Aikman.
Me too.
Now they're Monday Night Football. So I don't know this for a fact, because isn't the week two a doubleheader?
Week two is a doubleheader.
It's Buffalo, yes. Tennessee.
Buffalo, Tennessee, and then us. Yep.
So we don't know if we get Buck and Aikman.
That's a great point.
We could not. But if they're on the Commanders game that we think is on a Monday night,
correct,
that will be Buck and Aikman. They're my favorites. Where are you with this broadcasting shuffle? Because the money is obviously crazy, but who cares about that? I mean, just like from a fan perspective, it's so different. Now we're going to have an Amazon with Al Michaels and Kirk Herbstreit,
yep.
Which I'm not sure about for the NFL.
We'll say. I don't know. I think Herbstreit's good at college.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a jump.
Sure
it's a different
is.
Game. I mean, Al's the best. I love Al. And I think Al and Collinsworth, we're really good together.
And so
Tirico and Collinsworth, which I think will be good. I think Tirico's solid. You know, I don't think he's as good as Al.
And then for this year,
it'll be Burkhart and Olsen, I would guess.
Yeah. And
it's definitely Burkhart. It's a question of who's with him.
I like both of them. It just doesn't feel like, and this
feels
is what,
smaller.
That's why they gave Brady the bag. Yeah.
Of course it is. That's why they gave him $375 million. And then I'll be like, oh, it feels big again. Tom Brady's there.
And then Romo and Nance.
Romo and Nance, yeah.
And we could have a few of those, because when the Eagles take on the Colts and the Titans,
yep.
AFC games.
Mm-hmm. Those are some big games.
Yeah, we could get
and
them.
And Pittsburgh, Eagles-Pittsburgh is always kind of a big vibe. That could
That'll be
that
a bit. We can't let the Eagles lose to Kenny Pickett.
No.
Small hands
could be
Pickett.
Mitch Trubisky.
It could be Mitch. Yeah. All right, we'll come back. So your favorite, Buck and Aikman?
My favorite right now, yeah. But it was Michaels and Collinsworth for a while there, but I think that Buck and Aikman passed them the last few years.
It just, I've always felt it's a big game feel when there's Buck and Aikman.
100% agree.
And we'll get them with some of the Monday night games this year. All right, 215-592-9494. It is our Eagles schedule release special. James Seltzer hanging out. Coming up on the other side, we will have the Eagles schedule in full. We'll break it down. Yes, James and I are going to go win-loss through the entire thing and see where we come out on the other side. We'll grab your phone calls. Merrill Reese is also going to join the show in this next hour to talk Eagles. The NFL schedule is about to be released. We'll bring it to you next on Sports Radio 94 WIP. The CBS team. Welcome on in. It's Sports Radio 94 WIP. The Eagles schedule release show. Well done by Moshe Kiris behind the glass. Joe Giglio, James Seltzer with you as we await the official Eagles schedule, which will be out any second now. Playing us back with the CBS team. James, we didn't talk about that. We talked about our broadcasters. But I do like the CBS music.
Oh, so I have a very strong take on this, and that is the NBC music is by far the best. I will fight to the death. The Sunday Night Football music is pinnacle.
Now
it is the best.
Where do you stand? I forget what we're doing now, but at some point we switched from
we
Faith
both
Hill.
Fox is the worst.
No, but Faith Hill to Carrie.
Oh, I'm not talking about that. Like, talking about the theme, the Sunday
theme.
Night Football theme. I think Moshe played it last
yes,
break
he
coming
did.
Back.
Can that, we hear that again?
Oh, yeah, this. I mean, come on.
It's a big game.
It feels big when they play.
It's football night in America.
Yes. So this is my favorite, but I agree with you. CBS after that, Fox clearly the worst as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, I've always thought Fox puts together a good broadcast and good
great
broadcasters. And the lead used to be Buck and Aikman. But yeah.
Doesn't feel as big, you know?
There's something about the music that just plays you in and you get ready for the whole thing. So, yes, I'm glad Moshe brought us in with that. 215-592-9494, the NFL schedule release show. So the schedules are about to drop here across the NFL, and we will bring you the Eagles schedule, and we'll go win-loss.
Good thing we don't know any of these games, and we get to find them all out when the NFL releases these schedules,
right?
Right
now, you know what, James? It is official. I have it in front of me.
Oh, we got it!
I have it in front of me, everybody. Here we go. We have the Eagles schedule. All right, let me reel this off quickly, and then we'll roll back through it, and we'll give win-loss. But just off the top, here's what we have. Official, Go Birds. The Eagles put this out, Go Birds. They have a good
Go
podcast.
Birds!
There it is. All right. As we knew already, week one, Philadelphia Eagles will take on the Detroit Lions in Detroit. Week two, Monday Night Football, 8:30 kick at home against the Minnesota Vikings. Week three, the Eagles will travel to Washington to take on Carson Wentz and the Commanders, a 1 o'clock start on September 25th. Back home, week four, Sunday at 1, it is Doug Peterson and the Jaguars. Week five, They travel to Arizona to take on Kyler Murray and the Cardinals. Now, that one is interesting as DeAndre Hopkins has a 6-game suspension.
Big deal there.
Yes,
big
deal. That is a big deal.
You were really hoping early. Give Arizona in the first 6 games. He looked completely different without DeAndre
last year.
He was lost.
So. I saw a stat a couple months ago that when Kyler Murray had DeAndre Hopkins, his numbers were on par with, like, you know, Mahomes, right? The best quarterbacks. His numbers were identical to Jared Goff when you took away DeAndre Hopkins.
Well, he was an MVP candidate for like the first 8 weeks of the season last year.
Yeah, then he fell apart, which
completely
always happens. All right, so week 6, the Eagles are back home, 8:20 start. That looks like Sunday night football to me.
Oh, yeah, it must be because it's definitely a Sunday because it's a week after the 9th. So, yeah,
Cowboys.
How about it? I love it.
Cowboys Sunday night football.
All right, Tirico coming to Philly along with Chris Collinsworth. Let's go.
Then a bye week, and then another home game. So the bye week is in week 7. So the bye is in week 7. So it goes.
So that's it would be October 23rd is your bye week. If you're planning stuff.
Oh, I always have to.
That's why, dude, I always check out the bye week. Yeah. I see what's happening, and I'm all in.
Basically, tell my wife this is the only weekend until
January. I
always am
like, Emily, get ready. This is our weekend.
Yep.
It's going to be great.
All right, so Lions, Vikings, Washington, Jaguars, Cardinals, Cowboys, bye. They come out of the bye. The Eagles will host the Pittsburgh Steelers on October 30th. It's interesting. Steelers on October. The year, what was it, 04? Wasn't that the first loss of the season?
It was the first loss. They were 7-0 or 8-0 going into
on Halloween weekend.
Yep. It was Halloween weekend.
Same time of the year. Yep. All right, yep. So home against the Steelers on October 30th. Then they go to the Texans. I believe that will be a Thursday night game.
Yeah, it looks by the date like it's a Thursday night game. So home game, then on the road. Look, if you're going to have a Thursday night game, let it be in Houston. That's not too bad. You'd rather have it home than on the road, but I'll take Houston.
But if you're going to have a road Thursday night game against a bad team, I will take that too. Okay, so at Houston on November 3rd for a Thursday night game. So that gives them
11
days to that means we get to get revved up for Carson Wentz's return for 11 days.
NFL, thank you.
Wow.
Thank you. I appreciate this. This is good looking out, buddy.
That's incredible. Okay, so Washington at home, Monday Night Football on November the 14th. I wonder if that also will be Salute to Service Day. They always put that around that time of the year.
Oh, that would make sense.
Yeah, I took my son. We went to his first game last year against the Chargers.
Nice.
Yeah, and that was a fun game.
That's fun.
Washington, Carson Wentz's return on November 14th, 8:15. They then go to the Colts the next Sunday for a 1 p.m. start. Back home, I believe that will be Thanksgiving weekend, Sunday night football. Another Sunday night game.
Wow. How about that?
Against the Green Bay Packers.
Wow. How about that, too? So this is five. Is that 5 primetime games?
Week 2 is primetime.
Four
week
primetime
six
games.
6 is primetime. Yeah. Week 9 is primetime. No, week 5. Week 10 is primetime. And week 12 is primetime.
Yeah.
5 primetime games.
Yeah.
Okay,
that?
So week 12, Sunday Night Football against the Packers. Again at home. So this is, I mean, really, they've got a stretch of what? Around, James, if you go around the, starting with the Cowboys game in week 6, they play 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 out of 8 at home.
It's big.
With a bye in between.
Yeah,
that's a big stretch there. Okay, week 12 against the Packers at home, Sunday Night Football. Week 13 at home against the Titans at a 1 o'clock start. And
real
then,
quick there, potentially, like, just overview, maybe Arizona, I guess, the other team you could put in here, I guess Dallas, but you could argue the 3 best teams on their schedule are 3 toughest opponents in a row there. Well, also 2 of them at home.
Yeah.
But having the Colts, Green Bay, and Tennessee, I mean, maybe Dallas in there too, but those are 3 of their 4 toughest opponents right in a row there.
It is. And then, so they come off of that with their toughest stretch just based on the road. I just mentioned 6 of 8 games at home with a bye in between. Well, they have to make it up somewhere. They have 3 straight road games. Week 14 at the Giants, 1 o'clock start. Week 15 at the Bears, 1 o'clock start. And then one we heard earlier in the day, Christmas Eve, 4:25 start. Merry Christmas at the Cowboys.
So that's the 3rd straight road game on a short week, no less.
That's brutal.
It's a 6-day
week.
That is
brutal.
That's a loss. That's a loss. I'll give you that one. That's a loss right there.
The silver lining is the 2 road games to start the trip are against teams you would think are going to be pretty poor. Giants, Bears.
Yeah, I think you feel good. And that we just talked about, take 2 or 3. Those first 2 are the 2 you're most likely to win anyway. Take those first 2.
All right, week 17 on New Year's Day at home against the Saints, 1 p.m. start, and the season will end. They put to be determined because obviously they can flex it. That's the, I'm sure every team has to be determined, you know, time-wise.
I don't think they're looking to flex the Eagles into that Sunday night game anytime soon.
Yeah,
right?
They broke that. they also put the date as 1-7 or 1-8. That means they could put it on Saturday again.
Yeah, that is interesting.
So final week, week 18 against the Giants. So very quickly, one more run through, and then we got to play win-loss, win-loss. Lions, Vikings, Commanders, Jaguars, Cardinals, Cowboys, bye week, Steelers, Texans, Commanders, Wentz is return, Colts, Packers, Titans, Giants, Bears, Cowboys, Saints, Giants. There is your 2022 Eagles schedule. James, you ready?
I'm ready, buddy.
All right, let's
I'm ready.
It.
I'm excited. This is pretty exciting.
Okay.
I'm ready to be ridiculous with this.
Here's what I need. I need some sort of pen to keep track of what I'm doing myself here. Okay.
Yes.
I'm going to make two columns so I can keep track of both of
those. I probably should do that, too.
We got to keep track here so we get to the end.
Hold on, I got a pen in my bag.
All right, we're prepared.
I'm prepared. I brought a bag. I'm a pro, Joe Giglio.
All right, here we go. 17 games over 18 weeks. Let's start it off, James. Week one, Eagles at the Lions.
35-point win.
Not just a win, a statement win. I'm going with the win as well. Eagles start the season off 1-0. Week two, Monday Night Football against the Vikings.
I'm going to go win.
I am too. We mentioned it earlier. I mean, Kirk Cousins on prime time. That's a victory for the
2-0
Eagles.
2-0 start.
2-0, and everyone is hyped here. Week three, and this pains me to say it, but this is the way it works around here. They're going to burst our bubble when they go down to Washington and lose to Carson Wentz.
Yeah, so you would think that they would do that. I'm going to tell you why that's not going to happen.
Oh, I like this.
It's my 41st birthday on September 25th. There is no way they are losing to Carson Wentz on my birthday.
They can't do that to you.
The Eagles, don't do that to me. You can't do that to me. Of all teams to face, Carson Wentz versus the Eagles on my birthday. It's a stone cold win as far as
I'm concerned. So James Seltzer has the Eagles starting off 3-0.
Birthday magic.
I'm going to go 2-1. Week four at home against the Jaguars and Doug Peterson. I will write it down as a victory for the Eagles.
Yeah, I don't know how this happened and how I got myself in this position. The Eagles are starting
4-0. Oh, no.
It is what it is. I mean, it's not my choice. It's what it is. So.
Okay, week five, the Eagles, I have them at 3-1. James has them at 4-0. They head to Arizona to take on the Cardinals. Now, the good thing right now is the DeAndre Hopkins suspension, but I've got two reasons why I'm going to go with a loss on this. Number one, that could be appealed and taken down to four games, and that would hurt the Eagles because this would be game
really
number five.
Point, yeah.
The other part is, if you look at Kingsbury and Kyler Murray, they're great in the first half of seasons.
Dude, this is where I was going to go with
and
this.
And then Kyler Murray, you know, he remembers he's 5'10" and 180 pounds, and he gets hurt, and Kingsbury can't adjust. But they're usually good in the beginning. I'm going to put out a loss for
the Eagles. What were they, 7-0, 8-0 last year?
Yeah.
I mean, and Murray, both of his years in the NFL has come out really hot to start the year. I had that. I was almost coming into the Arizona thing as a loss, almost no matter what, just based on the way it shook out. But particularly in this situation, I think they lose this game.
Okay, so that's your first loss, my second. So
they're not going undefeated. So
no, this is not the year. The 72 Dolphins, which is one of the saddest things.
Pop the champagne, buddy. Yeah, how sad is that?
You know what the saddest part is? We're probably not going to get an undefeated team. The Patriots are
closer.
Oh,
yeah, I think it's over.
So you know what's going to happen first? They're not going to be around.
Yeah, you're right.
They're going to stop showing it because there's not going to be any more of those guys.
All right,
we go to week six, Eagles, Cowboys, Sunday Night Football. We said it earlier, if Jalen Hurts wants to remain the Eagles quarterback, he's got to beat the Cowboys. He has never done this. He does it here, week six. I have the Eagles beating the Cowboys.
I have the Eagles at 5-1 going into the bye, and this city is on fire, Joe Giglio.
Well, if you're right, I mean, even if 4-2, people will be excited, but if you're a part of the schedule is correct, I could hear it now. DeCameron Ritchie, can we say Super Bowl?
Ritchie is pretty funny because it was right around that time in that season. It was after the Panthers game on our show. I think we were 5-1 actually, and that's when we started talking about.
So I just quickly, who do you think will be the one on your show that will say yes we can, and who will say no?
I think we all know it's not John Ritchie.
No,
all right, Jalen Hurts could come out and be the best quarterback in football for the first 6 weeks of the season, and John Ritchie will not be saying they're winning the Super Bowl.
Okay, so. Week number seven. Well, that's an easy one. That is a bye. For the
I've
Philadelphia
got a win.
No. Another win for James. Okay. Week eight off the bye. I'm going to go with a win over the Steelers. Now, I always am wary of betting against Mike Tomlin, but the Eagles are off a bye. And look, it's either Mitch Trubisky, who's just trying to hold on to that thing at quarterback, or they're getting a rookie quarterback on the road. I will take my chances. The Eagles beat the Steelers that day.
So I originally thought home against the Steelers coming into this would be a win. I don't like the bye that much. I think that more often than not, we see teams come out slow to start the bye. I think Mike Tomlin's a good coach. I think they'll be a competent football team. I don't think they're going to be that good. But I think this is one of those weird ones they lose. So 5-2.
You know what? You changed my mind, actually.
Oh, wow. Look at me.
You changed my mind.
Okay.
I'm going with the loss. Tomlin against Sirianni, still a young coach. Their defense is really good. And you know what? I just thought about it. I gave them a win on that Sunday night against the Cowboys. Mm-hmm. Couldn't you see them going to the bye with my heads a little too big?
Of course I could.
Yeah, they come out of the bye and they lose. Okay. Yes. So we'll put that down as a loss. My third loss of the season. All right. Week 9, Thursday Night Football. Very quick turnaround. Not easy. Short week. Thursday night in Houston. If the Texans were not a 4 or 5-win bad team, I would say this is a worry. I think they go to smash the Texans on that Thursday night.
Well, yeah. And that's part of it, especially coming off the loss at home to Pittsburgh. Gives them that extra juice to go on the road on Thursday night, win that football game. I think it's a stone cold win.
All right. Week number 10, there is no question in my mind. Carson Wentz is not coming here and winning.
Nope.
Week 10, nope. 11 days to prepare, almost another mini bye for the Eagles. This city will be – the fact that's a primetime game, that place is going to be so revved up for that game.
And we know how Carson does in big spots, all right? I think it's – as much as it's my birthday and they won't lose to Carson Wentz on my birthday, I still think it's far more likely they lose on my birthday than lose on Monday night.
Yeah, I agree. Okay, so that brings us to week 11 on the road against the Indianapolis Colts. James, I'm putting this down as a loss. I think that the Colts – are going to get – I don't think Matt Ryan is great anymore, but I think he'll be more
Better than
steady.
Carson Wentz.
He'll be more steady, and he'll be better than Carson Wentz.
I think they're going to be good.
Me too. I think that's a loss for the Eagles.
So it was one of the only games – and again, I think this is one of the fun things coming into this without knowing the actual schedule and just looking at the opponents and saying, oh, wow, what an easy schedule. For some reason, just looking at the home and away games, away at Indy just – always felt like a loss to me, and certainly in this situation, I think it's a loss.
Yeah, it's a very tricky game for the Eagles.
Short week too.
Yep, they return home Sunday night football the next week. Doesn't this feel like it will be billed as a "Are the Eagles for real?" game? You know, it's Green Bay.
Great point. Yes,
Green Bay probably is.
I love that. You just nailed it. That's what it's going to be. It's perfect.
Green Bay probably is in the mix for the one seed again, just because their division and Aaron Rodgers and. I will say that night the Eagles are going to lose to the Green Bay Packers. And the worries we have about the secondary against Rodgers, they all come to fruition. I'm going to put it as a loss. So my first back-to-back loss is here.
Mine too. And that's exactly where I'm at in my head. It's the first time I think, I had them going 7-2 prior to the Green Bay game. So now they're 7-3 after the Green, you know, after this. I had them at 7-2 going into the Indy game, 7-3. They lose again. I think it's the first time all season people start to worry a little bit and say, uh-oh. What's going on? Yep. Are they not as good as we thought? So I think this is a loss as well.
So the next game is an interesting one. The Titans in week 13 on December 4th, coming off of back-to-back losses. It's going to be one of those games like, uh-oh, or is this thing going to slip away from them? Because they have three straight road games coming up after the one we're about to say. I have a feeling, though, James, the Titans are going to belly flop this year. That, you know, that they were a weird number one seed last year. How many years in a row can Derrick Henry stay healthy or good? And they have a quarterback situation brewing there with Tannehill and Malik Willis.
Coming off that playoff game, buddy.
I don't think the Titans are going to be very good. I think the Eagles win this game.
I think the Colts are winning that division. I agree with you on the Titans. I don't think the Titans will bottom out just because I think Mike Vrabel's a really good coach. I'm in on that dude. I think he's a motivator. I think guys play for him. So I don't think they're going to bottom out. But I think they're more of like a 9-win team this year rather than a 12, 13, whatever team win they were last year. And I think there's a good spot for the Eagles after the two losses. Bounce back, win at home against Tennessee. I'm giving them a win.
All right, you want to reset here as we go into the final stretch of the season? All right, let's reset where we're at for each of us. So we have gone through the first 13 weeks of this season, and where do each of us have the Eagles? So there's 5 games left on the schedule, 13 weeks. So we've played out 12 games. Where do you have the Eagles at through 12 games?
I have the
games?
Eagles, and I think even though they did lose two in a row recently, I think at 8-4 – heading into the final stretch of the season, I don't think anyone's complaining. I'm happy at 8-4 heading into the final stretch. 8-2, I'm really pumped. Or 7-2, I'm really pumped. 8-4 coming off a win, I still feel very good.
I have them at 8-4 as well.
Wow, look at this.
8-4.
All right, I like it.
Yeah, 8-4. Excuse me, I have them at 7-5. Sorry.
Okay.
I have the one extra loss than you do. So I have them at 7-5 heading into the final stretch of the season. All right, let's play it out. 7-5 with 5 games to go at the Giants in week 14.
I mean, stone cold win. You know, I get it. It's risky to say they're going to win both games against the Giants, as we've seen the last few years. No matter how bad the Giants are, they always seem to fight tough. I still think the Eagles get on a bit of a roll here. I think they handle business.
I have a win, too. I think the Giants, talent-wise, are a while away from being a real team. And
I think at this point in the season, they might kind of be, like, looking towards the offseason at this point.
Sure. Though. I mean, who knows? Daniel Jones, he never stays healthy, and he's not good either anyway, even when he does play. All right, so we both have wins over the Giants week 14. Week 15, I think this is a sneaky, crucial game in this season because we know the Cowboy game is the week after. I have the Eagles beating the Bears on the road in week 15, their second straight road game. I think the Bears are kind of a mess of a team. And Justin Fields is kind of interesting, but I don't think there's much around him. I'm going to go with a win.
Yeah, I think the Bears are one of the worst teams in the NFC this year. And I don't think it's Fields' fault. Like, I like Justin Fields a lot, but Eberflus wasn't a super exciting hire to me. I think he's fine. I'm not saying he's going to be bad, but I don't think it was necessarily the right hire for having Justin Field there and this young quarterback.
Defensive linebacker
such a
coach.
Strange hire to me. And then to literally put no one to do zero around Justin Field. They've added no one to that. It's like, unbelievable.
We complained this offseason before A.J. Brown.
Yes.
And we had.
Our offense was already way better.
Right. Like, we have Goddard and Devontae.
They have. I mean, Darnell Mooney's like their best player. I mean, I guess David Montgomery.
Right.
Like, that's it. Yeah. I mean, they got nothing. Cole Kmet and guys you never heard of. So I think Chicago is going to be pretty bad. And I know it's a weird game in there. But I do agree with you. Like, in a lot of ways, you know, it could play out where it's like not a must-win game, but a crucial game for this team because they got to win that game. But I think they win it.
All right, week 16, we have them winning the first two games of this three-game road trip. Week 16, Eagles at Cowboys. Christmas Eve. I mean, we know what's going to happen.
It's the stone coldliest loss on the schedule.
I know. I mean, it is. It's a terrible spot more than anything else. It really is. And I'm interested to look later on tonight what the Cowboys' schedule is, what we think they'll be at this time. Because
I was thinking about that with all these teams. Like, Tennessee could be coming off three straight.
Right.
This could be their third straight. There are other spots that could change. When
elements, yeah. But I have the Eagles losing the game. We both do. Okay, Eagles lose to the Cowboys week 16. Normally, like in the old days, you lose to the Cowboys week 16, that might end the division. There's still 2 weeks to go.
Yeah, buddy.
It's amazing. This season doesn't end till January 8th. Feels so late, but that's the extra week now. All right, week 17, back at home after the Cowboys loss against the Saints. Jalen Hurts doesn't lose to the Saints.
No, he owns the Saints.
Win.
Jameis Winston late in the season. He might not even be Jameis by that
Could
point.
Could be Andy Dalton.
I think the Saints, I know everyone's talking like, oh, the Saints are going to be good, and they thought they were I think the Saints are going to be pretty bad.
They also lost Sean Payton.
I know. No one's talking about that.
One of the best coaches in the league is just gone.
I think a big reason why they were a competent team was Sean Payton. So they might have some nice talent on defense. I get it. I think it's going to spiral for them. I think that was a reason I liked the trade so much. I really think they have a chance to be a 6-7 win type of football team.
Yeah, so it could be a game that's a double whammy. Eagles push the Saints down in the standings and maybe give themselves a chance to win the NFC East the next week. All right, so week 18, Giants in here against the Philadelphia Eagles. I have the Eagles coming into the game at 10-6.
I have them at 11-5 right now. How bad?
So based on what we're doing with here, I think this game is going to have significant implications. Like, division title, if they win, they win the division title. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to have them with a win. The Eagles are going to win the game over the Giants week 18. I have the Eagles at 11-6. First, look at the schedule. You met 12-5.
I've met 12-5, Joe Giglio. And it's funny because remember you said before, do you have a number that you try and get through all that?
Yeah.
I actually came in at 11. So I don't.
It went over it.
I came in at 11. I think they're a 12-win football team this year based on that schedule.
How about that?
How about it?
And you know what my favorite part is?
It's unbelievable.
This segment, and you know, you and I have never done one of these win-loss things. I don't know if I've ever done this with anyone because usually I just do it by myself.
Yeah, sure.
It lasted our entire segment.
It's amazing. It's awesome.
12-5, 11-6. The Eagles schedule is out. 215-592-9494 to hop on. You heard it. You saw it. What's your reaction? Eagles schedule, what number you're at? I'm at 11-6. James Seltzer is at 12-5 for your 2022 Eagles. We are excited here. And joining us on the other side, we're going to talk to – speaking of excited, you know Merrill Reese is excited. Merrill Reese, the voice of the Eagles, will join us next to talk about the Eagles schedule, what he thinks about the three-game road trip, the opener in Detroit, everything about the schedule, and, of course, Carson Wentz's return in week number 10. That's coming up next right here on Sports Radio 94 WIP. Welcome back, Sports Radio 94 WIP. Joe Giglio, James Seltzer. It is our Eagles NFL schedule release special here on WIP. 215-592-9494 to join us. The schedule is out. If you just hopped in, it is Lions, Vikings, Commanders, Jaguars, Cardinals, Cowboys, bye week, Steelers, Texans, Commanders, and that one will be here, that second Commanders game, Carson Wentz return, Colts, Packers, Titans, Giants, Bears, Cowboys, Saints, and Giants. Those are your teams this season. We knew the opponents. Now we know the order. That includes a three-game road trip. And all these games this year will include Merrill Reese, the voice of the Eagles. He'll be calling everyone starting off September 11th, 1 p.m. in Detroit against the Lions. Let's get Merrill Reese's first reaction to the 2022 schedule. Merrill, how you doing tonight?
Good. Good, Joe and Jim. I'm very excited, and I always am, of course. I never am somebody who takes the W and the L's and puts them next to the games on the schedule, because I've always felt, and I think you guys understand this too, that it's more important when you play a team than who's on your schedule back in May. I mean, you play a team without their star. The injuries play such a big part in it, and that's something we won't know until the season unfolds. But on the offset, just to begin, I like the fact that they're opening at Detroit against a team that is not considered a strong team, where you have a chance to nail down a win to start your season.
Well, Mara, I agree. I mean, they're favored, you know, early on by, you know, a pretty sizable amount of points, and they should be against the team they beat last year. Merrill, interesting, the home opener is a Monday night game against the Minnesota Vikings, and they're obviously better, Merrill, than the Lions. You know, they're an average football team. But you look at that, Merrill, Lions in week one and then back home to take on the Vikings. It does set up that the Eagles have a chance here to get out of the gate with a 2-0 start.
They do. They do. These are two games that I think there's a good chance that they're favored in. So, I know I like the way it plays out, and I love the fact that you have all these primetime games. Every game can be exciting, but when you look at the schedule and you see Washington there on Monday night, November 14th, and you know Carson Wentz, assuming he's healthy, you never know with Carson Wentz, but assuming he's healthy back at the link, I think that's exciting. And then you see Sunday, November 27th, Green Bay Packers in a primetime game. That should be a lot of fun. So, I think it's an exciting schedule. And I think, of course, you always wind up with the division just about. And this year it's with the Giants, and it's a home game.
Merrill, that's why you're so good, because I was about to ask you a question about Carson Wentz's return, and you bring it up yourself. But we were talking about that before and how, you know, obviously a bit of a complicated legacy. I personally think, you know, the dude helped us win a Super Bowl. That's really all that matters. But there was obviously a lot of acrimony on the way out and all that. What kind of reception do you think it's going to be? What kind of feeling do you think it's going to be in that building when Carson Wentz returns?
Oh, I think it's going to be unfavorable. I think there's going to be a lot of booing night.
Yeah.
And look, I think that Carson Wentz was a great move when they drafted him. But after the injury, he was never the same guy. He was never the same player. And he refused to make the adjustments that he had to make to his game. And really, and the way he went out, I really disagree with people who say, well, the Eagles weren't kind to him when they drafted Jalen Hurts, and that Carson never got over it. You know, if a quarterback is really that sensitive about another quarterback being drafted late in the second round, then he shouldn't be an NFL quarterback. You have to be a lot tougher than that. And I just don't like the way he reacted at all, and the lack of respect he gave Doug Peterson.
Preach, Merrill.
Yeah,
preach.
Well, I totally agree with that, Merrill. He did not handle it well, and not becoming of a franchise quarterback, certainly. Merrill, what do you think about the bye this year? It was late last year, and, you know, we were saying a few minutes ago, the bye could kind of be in the eye of the beholder. You could spin it. If you have a late one, you could say, well, it kind of springboards you in the end. I thought it helped them last year. It's earlier this year. Ideally, Merrill, I would like it right in the middle, but it's week seven this year. What do you think about where the bye sits?
See, I don't want to tell you what I really think about the bye. The first thing I look about the bye is, how late is it? Is it still decent golf weather?
Well, it could be. Yeah,
I think you're all right.
October 23rd.
If I'm going to get a week off, what good is it at the end of December when the sleet is there, the course is, the ground is frozen? So it gives me enough. But the truth of the matter is, being honest, I think it comes at the right time from a football standpoint. It will do you some good. It's at the perfect time where you can get healthy going into the stretch run. It's not too early. It's not too late where you could be out of it by that time. I think it's right where it should be. I know I'm being facetious about the golf, but that means a little something too.
Yeah, and you deserve it. You know, you worked pretty hard all season. I think a week off is earned.
That's it.
Merrill, we were actually speaking of how hard you work. Joe and I were talking before about, you know, when you see the schedule, it's different than when everyone else does because you're intimately involved in all these games and going to them. Are there any games, especially particularly the away schedule, that you're extra excited for? Any places you're extra excited to go or games that look particularly fun for you to call?
Well, they're all fun for me to call. Of course, Saturday, December 24th at Dallas. I mean, Saturday night, it will be, well, it's 4:25 game, but it'll be dark here by that time. And to play the Cowboys on the 24th there, I mean, that's a Saturday game. It's going to be a lot of fun. They're all fun. And sometimes you look at a game and you say, well, look, they're not a very good team. It should be a one-sided game. But, for example, I'm anxious to see how the game goes on Sunday, October the 22nd at the Link, when Doug Peterson comes back. Now, there is somebody who will get a warm greeting from the Philadelphia fans. No doubt about it. I mean, he was the coach of our only Super Bowl championship. Doug was always respectful of the fans. They always liked him. He always communicated with the media. Doug's a great guy. And I honestly believe that he has a chance to be the coach of the year this year, to be the NFC coach of the year. Not that he's going to take them to the Super Bowl or even the playoffs, but they were the team in the NFL last year with the worst record. They had the first pick in the entire draft.
Back-to-back years, Merrill. Back-to-back years.
And he takes over, and I just think with Trevor Lawrence is going to blossom under Doug Peterson. Urban Meyer didn't know what to do with him, but Doug Peterson will make him the kind of quarterback that he has the talent to be. And I still believe that he was the most talented quarterback coming out of that draft.
Yeah, it's interesting, Merrill. I actually think it's funny you brought that up because I think physically Lawrence reminds me a little bit of Wentz pre-injury. So maybe Doug can work some magic and make him good. That'll be a fun game when Doug Peterson comes back. Merrill, when you look at the schedule, are there any spots that worry you, games you're most intrigued by? I mean, James and I were talking about the three-game road trip. You mentioned that the final leg of that is in Dallas on Christmas Eve. That is always difficult. The Eagles, unfortunately, got saddled with one of those this year. Giants, Bears, Cowboys. That will be a challenge, those three games, because it's all three on the road.
Yeah, but I look, Arizona's going to be tough. There was an erroneous report yesterday that Arizona was going to be the opener at Arizona. They're tough. I mean, they're Kyler Murray. And they've got a lot of stars. They're going to be very tough to beat home or on the road. And in this case, you face them on the road. I don't worry about the weather because as hot as it can be down there, they close the roof, they lock in the noise, and they make it a dank, gray gymnasium. So you're not going to have to worry too much about the heat. But I think the Jacksonville game is very interesting. The games with Pittsburgh. Now, with Pittsburgh, we're used to seeing Ben Roethlisberger. Who's going to be the Pittsburgh quarterback this year? I mean, I don't know. Is it going to be Kenny Pickett? Is it going to be Mason Rudolph? I don't know. It's going to be very, very interesting.
Yeah, it is interesting. And Kenny Pickett, who grew up listening to you and going to Eagles games, was an Eagles fan. He could be up against him. Merrill, I haven't gotten your thoughts on this. I'm curious, but, you know, schedule aside, How do you feel about this team right now? It's kind of a weird offseason where there wasn't much buzz early. Hassan Reddick was obviously a very good signing, but that was kind of in terms of big names. And then, Merrill, just for people that we talk to every day on WIP, the feeling on this offseason changed a couple Thursday nights ago and then into Friday and Saturday. The NFL draft, the trade for A.J. Brown. We're feeling a lot of buzz here, and our callers are too. What do you feel in expectations-wise, you know, just aside from the schedule, just how good this team could be?
They're good. They're very, very good. You know, I hoped all along, my number one pick, and this goes back to the middle of winter, but the guy I wanted more than any other was Jordan Davis, and they got him. I thought that this team needed somebody who could disrupt things at the line of scrimmage, and I think that was just great. And then when you consider the fact that they got the two biggest impact players from the national championship college team, it instantly makes your defense better. And then to pick up somebody like A.J. Brown, look, there were some good young draft picks taken this year around the league, some of the wide receivers. But here you have somebody who has the ability to be an elite receiver and doesn't have to go through the break-in period that every receiver goes through when they hit the NFL. So, I mean, every now and then you have somebody who comes out very, very quickly. But there is generally a learning period. I think they have given Jalen Hurts, who I like, by the way, they've given him a fine stable of receivers. They've given him maybe the best offensive line in the National Football League. They've given him solid running backs. They've given him a good pass catching and blocking tight end in Dallas Goedert. I think this offense is loaded. I think the defense is going to be better. And I also think when you look at this defense, there's a lot of things they can do, and there are a lot of moves that they still have to make, you know, because they do have certain holes in the secondary that have to be addressed. There's no doubt about that before you can say they're the total team that you can consider a Super Bowl contender. I think there's certainly a playoff contender and a serious one who can make some noise in the playoffs. But then I go back to 2017, and that team wasn't considered to be a Super Bowl contender either. And things just got better. And they made some moves during the season. They made the move going into the season where they picked up LeGarrette Blount, which turned out to be a great move. They picked up right near the deadline. They picked up Jay Ajayi. They did so. And then when guys went down, they did so many smart things. I mean, they lost their kicker in Caleb Sturgis, and they went and got Jake Elliott off the practice squad of the Cincinnati Bengals, and he turned out to be terrific. So there's a lot of things that can come up and a lot of parts of this whole story that have yet to be written. Now, one other thing I want to tell you guys about, and I don't know if you've discussed him, but when they were signing players after the draft, there was one guy I really wanted. I mean, really wanted. And that was Britton Covey, the punt returner from Utah. I would stay up late some nights if I saw that Utah was on television just to see Britton Covey. He is electric, absolutely electric. Now, I don't know how his skills translate to the NFL. That's what you have to wait and see. And he is a little bit of a guy, but he said, now you see him, now you don't. I just can't wait to see him return punts. And boy, do they need somebody.
Do they ever, Merrill?
It's been a long time. I need to hear a Britton Covey touchdown call from Merrill Reese on a punt return.
Give it to me.
I'd love the chance to do that. I mean, we had Mighty Mouse, and I used to love Darren Sproles. And you really didn't have that with the part two of DeSean Jackson. Part one of DeSean Jackson was amazing, but in the replay where he came back, it wasn't the same guy. But he was tremendous.
No, he really was. And Merrill, I agree with everything you said there. And I think, you know, honing in on 2017 and, you know, the thing that really took that team from, you know, it was a really good roster, but the reason they became great was Carson Wentz taking that leap from year one to year two. You've always been a big Jalen Hurts guy. I've heard you talk about him a lot. What kind of leap do you – because Joe and I both think Jalen Hurts will be better this year. The question is, how much better? And will he take a real leap with, like you said, one of the better supporting casts around him that we've seen in Philadelphia? If you take out the quarterback and just go running game, offensive line, wide receivers, tight end. I mean, it's damn good, Merrill. It's damn good.
Change Here's the thing.
What do you
Here's
see from
Hurts? Here's the thing about Jalen Hurts. I'm not telling you that he's the next coming of Aaron Rodgers, but you've got to consider that Aaron Rodgers was drafted in 2005 and did not really start until 2008. You look 3 years from now or 4 years from now, whenever it's 5 years out, Drew Brees is going to be inducted into the NFL Hall of Fame. He wasn't anything special in San Diego, and they let him go, and Miami didn't pick him up because they thought about it. They didn't like his physical problems. He had a shoulder problem, and he was picked up by the Saints and went on to a Hall of Fame career. So I just think people are judging Jalen Hurts much too quickly, and he has a much stronger arm than people think. He can snap it out there. He can make every throw that you have to make. Doug Peterson will tell you that, and Nick Sirianni will tell you that. It's not a matter of arm strength. It's more decision-making, seeing the whole field. And this is something that takes a little while to develop. So I'm very optimistic, and I think the Eagles are doing everything they can to put him in a position to succeed this year.
Yeah, and I can't wait to watch him do it. I believe in him too, Merrill. Merrill, we really appreciate you you being part of the schedule release show here tonight, and we're excited to start here and you call these games and this summer to get started and another year of Eagles football. Thank you, Merrill.
See you guys. Have a great night.
You too. There he goes, Merrill Reese. You can tell Merrill's excited.
Ah, what a treat. Yeah, I love it. He mentioned Britton Covey on the
you knew
midday.
It.
I was saying to you, it's like it's going to be big. But I love – I've always loved that. And I actually have a story like that with Merrill. So when I worked for the Eagles, and this is a – Merrill nailed this one. When I worked for the Eagles, I used to do the draft with them. And Merrill used to always have like seventh round guys, sixth round.
And it always seems like, I don't know the one you're going to say, but just listen, the last few years, he likes the Pac-12 guys that he stays up watching late on Saturday night.
So he, seventh round, the Eagles take a guy named Jordan Poyer. And I never heard of him, whatever. And Merrill's like, I love this pick. I love this kid. This kid's great. Goes on and on about him. Obviously didn't work out here. But Jordan Poyer's been a hell of an NFL player for a long time and, you know, has played in the league for a really long time. Merrill really knows those, you know, kind of hidden gem guys at the end of the draft and after. He's good with those.
It's funny. The Eagles have had a lot of success with those players. I mean, sixth and seventh round picks, they've hit a lot of
and
them.
And UDFAs, man. I mean, I made the point before when we were talking about UDFAs. Two of the four main people in the Philly special were UDFA guys. Well, Clement and Burton were both UDFA guys.
Kirkland had 100 yards receiving in the Super Bowl.
I know.
That's a trivia question.
He's one of the best players on the team.
And he's had such a nondescript career since then. Like, he's done nothing. He was a Cowboy or a Giant
Cowboy.
Last year.
He was a Cowboy.
Yeah, he's bounced around. I mean, he's just been a guy. All right, before we wrap this up, a couple things I thought of as we're talking about Merrill there. One pertains to the schedule and one on Jalen. So, James, you said earlier about Jalen Hurts that it's kind of weird, like that rookie year was last year kind of his rookie year. We kind of did this thing where like he didn't get a training camp because of the pandemic. Then he was a backup, and then this year was his first year, right? So we keep comparing like him to first-year quarterbacks, second-year quarterbacks. There's another thing about Hurts I think is interesting. He came out of the draft younger.
I bring this up all the time. Like he's younger than guys in the draft. He's younger than Kenny Pickett.
Right.
I say that all the time. He's 23 years old, this kid.
Do you know he's still younger now than Carson Wentz
when
was?
When he started with the Eagles. I do know that. I've said that before on the air because I think it's an astounding stat.
Like, if you think about the curve of a quarterback, he's still ahead of it. Like, it gives like physical limitations are what they are. I don't think he's never going to have a superstar arm, right? Like Matt Stafford or Rodgers.
Josh
guys.
Allen.
Right.
You see the ball explode.
Yeah, that's never going to happen.
Right.
But I do think development-wise, there's more to go because he's younger than everybody else.
I agree. And again, I can't emphasize enough how important his work ethic and his will to win and will to be great are in this specific thing. Like, I do think he will maximize that. I think he will get out of him what he has. The question is what he has. And it's not just the arm. It's also the processing.
Yeah.
It's can this guy be able to look at a defense?
That's a bigger deal.
It's a bigger deal.
I think arm strength is overrated.
That makes up for arm strength.
Yes.
You can have a softer arm.
Well, Peyton Manning.
Peyton Manning. Drew Brees. I mean, we've seen a ton of these guys. They don't have the strongest arm in the world, but because they know exactly where to put the ball and they can put it there accurately, they're great quarterbacks.
Yep. And they don't have to get themselves in trouble because they know before the snap, I'm going here with the football. That's
exactly. That's
his offseason here. All right. Last thing. Just as I keep staring at the schedule, that's what I'm going to do. We're all going to do this for the next couple days.
I already took a picture of it on my phone, so I just have it on my phone so I can keep going back to it. Yes.
The one thing I'm looking at right now, because I remember last year when it came out, the one thing that worried all of us was, boy, Mahomes and Herbert. Now, we didn't know Herbert was going to take that kind of leap, but all right, he's really talented, right?
They had Brady.
Brady. They had elite quarterbacks, top five, six, seven quarterbacks throughout. How many, elite quarterbacks are on this schedule?
I think it's just Rodgers off the top of my head.
I think so. So right? let's go through the names.
I have to look through it, but yeah. Okay, let's go through the names. I like this.
How about this? How about we play it out how many top 10 guys are
okay,
there?
Okay, sure.
And I think when you get to 8, 9, 10, it's debatable, so
sure.
We'll see if we have the same number. Lions, Goff, no.
Yeah, I think
that's an easy
that.
No. Vikings, Cousins, no. Okay? Washington, Wentz, no. That's an easy one. Jaguars and Lawrence, no.
No, but I do think
one day maybe.
I liked your point before. I could see him taking a surprisingly
sure.
big leap.
But right now, he's based on last year, he's not close to that. Kyler Murray, Cardinals, I would say he's right at the bottom of the top 10.
So I wouldn't put him in the top 10. I'd
okay.
put him more in like the 12, 13 range.
Okay.
But I think, you know, when we're talking 8 to 13 or
it's
9
same,
to 13,
similar.
It's very similar.
I feel the same way about Dak. Dak's
exactly
in that range.
Same range. I actually think Dak's a little better than Kyler right now.
Oh, so let's say between those, there's one top 10 quarterback.
Sure.
So they're facing one in the first 6 weeks. It doesn't matter. Pickett or Trubisky, no.
No.
Texans, Davis Mills, no,
no.
way. Wentz again, stop. Matt Ryan, he's left that tier. He's
oh,
no
he's,
longer.
Yeah, he's definitely. I mean, I think Matt Ryan will be better in Indy than he's
sure.
been in Atlanta the last couple years, but not a top 10.
Maybe top 14,
sure.
top 16.
Sure.
Okay, Packers, obviously.
Yes.
Rodgers, top 10 quarterback. Tannehill, no.
Definitely not.
Daniel Jones, please.
This
no.
is pretty wild. When
Justin Fields, yeah. no. Now, he could take a leap, but he's not going to be a top 10 guy this year. Back to Dak again, so it's kind of like that 10-10-ish mm-hmm. range. Jameis Winston, no. Daniel Jones again.
It's pretty wild, Joe.
We're talking about at most four if we count Dak twice and Kyler.
And we're talking about, without a doubt, one elite quarterback.
One.
That's it. They have one top dude on their schedule.
It's a big deal. So
it's a mess, especially if you just forgetting everything else, just look at last year and the way they played against great quarterbacks and the way they played against everybody else.
So here's another way I'll say it to you. The way we just did it, I think there are only four games you go in and you say the Eagles are at a quarterback disadvantage in this game. Mm-hmm. Dak twice. Dak's better than Jalen right
no
now.
Doubt.
And Kyler, when he's healthy, mm-hmm. is better than Jalen. And obviously, you know,
Aaron Rodgers.
No question.
Yeah,
but better. Every other quarterback, I don't think it's a major disadvantage. Like, Matt Ryan might be a little bit better than Jalen
sure.
Hurts, but, like, whatever. It's not that big
but
of a deal.
But he might not be.
He might not be.
Yeah.
Tannehill might be, but he might not be anymore.
Yeah,
he's on
agree.
The decline. That's a big deal when you look at. It's not just how good Jalen Hurts could be. It's like, all right, well, who's he facing, right? If he's going up against Josh Allen every week, the Eagles are in trouble. He doesn't go up against Josh Allen every week.
Yeah. And again, I do think, you know, looking back at last year, the one thing that, you know, I was very down on the Eagles' defense last year. I think you were more down on it than up. I know there are other people who defended it and all that.
Yep.
Obviously, my podcast co-host, you know, Elliot and I have gotten into a lot of arguments about that. He's a Gannon defender. But the one thing you can say about Jonathan Gannon's defense last year is they play well against bad quarterbacks. They're going to play a lot of bad quarterbacks.
Yeah, and now I'm excited to see Gannon this year because there's more talent to work with.
Like, me too.
That's why
And it seems like he can actually maybe play the scheme he wanted to play in the first place too.
Yeah,
so.
It seemed like just the way they've done this offseason,
yeah.
they wanted to change the scheme.
And look, I'm not a Jonathan Gannon guy. I was personally unimpressed last year, but it's definitely notable that the rest of the NFL thinks this guy's a star. Like, clearly from the interviews he got, and it's a old boys network and all that stuff plays a role in interviews.
People
and all
think
that.
He's smart, obviously.
People are impressed by this
yep.
guy. So, you know, it was his first year, too. We talk so much about Sirianni, first year as head coach. This guy's first year as a defensive coordinator. So as much as I ripped him last year, I definitely would not be shocked if all of a sudden this year we're like, wow, look at Jonathan Gannon. All
yeah,
right.
and the silver lining, obviously, is if he's good and they're good, we're probably going to lose him in a year.
Exactly.
He's going to be
exactly.
a head coach. But you know what? I'll take that. It's okay. If the Eagles are good, we'll take that. James, this has been a blast. This flew by.
This is awesome, man. I can't believe we're done. It's like, already?
I know.
Over?
Went by
this is great.
12-5, 11-6.
Yeah.
I'm excited that we got to be the first voices to do the game.
Me
tomorrow,
too.
Everyone else on WIP
Me
will
too.
Do this as well.
Me
all
too.
Right. James, thank you for hopping in. James, back tomorrow with the midday show?
Yeah. Hear me do it again. We will do win-loss tomorrow. So
you know, you get an extra 12 hours
yes.
or whatever to think about it.
I'll be like, guys, I already did this. I'm ready to roll.
Listen,
you figure it out.
Go ahead, yeah. DeCamera Ritchie. All right. James back tomorrow. On the other side, we will get into leading off Phillies and the Dodgers. And I have some not great news about Bryce Harper to pass along. They checked his elbow out again. We'll give you the latest on that and everything you need to know for the Phillies and the Dodgers. That is coming up next on Sports Radio 94 WIP.